Over the course of the retreat so far, I've been weaving together instructions from all four of the foundations or establishments of mindfulness, these different domains of attention, starting with quite a strong emphasis on embodiment as mindfulness of the body, the first of these domains. Then yesterday we started to explore feeling tone, knowing pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. This morning, we moved on to mind, beginning with just that knowing whether there is sense desire in the mind or not, ill will in the mind or not, ignorance in the mind or not, whether the mind is scattered or distracted, concentrated, and so on. And up to this point, we're still simply knowing our experience exactly as it is. Then in the fourth establishment or foundation, which is known as mindfulness of dhammas, that's where we start to see all these different categories of experience. One example being the five hindrances that I started to talk about last night. And here there can be a shift in experience, a shift in the way we're relating to our experience, because it's no longer just about knowing it exactly as it is. In the case of the hindrances, if we know that the hindrances are present, then we want to do something about them to help them to release. So that's a very brief overview for now. And I want to emphasize that even though these are laid out in a progressive sequence, it's not intended to be a linear curriculum that you spend 5 years working on the body and then next 5 years on the feeling tone, and then eventually you get to the PhD of mindfulness of dhammas. In actual practice, as you all know, we're working with all of them all the time. So even as you're sitting here right now, the mind is working, different mind states are arising, different feeling tones are being known, the sensations in the body, and so on. But we break down the complexity of our experience into these component parts to make it more manageable. So I sometimes think of insight as being a technique of deconstruction so that we can manage its individual parts a little more easily. So this afternoon I want to come back briefly to mindfulness of the body again and to explore some formal standing meditation. We haven't done that yet, but it is one of the four postures that's included in this section of the sutta. Basically, we're instructed to bring mindfulness to the body as we're sitting, as we're walking, as we're standing, and as we're lying down. And I think many of you are familiar with standing practice as an antidote to the hindrance of sloth and torpor. So it's always beneficial if we're in one of those sittings where we just can't seem to raise the energy, then standing can be a very powerful way of refreshing ourselves. Because pretty obviously we need a bit more energy to make sure we're not going to fall over. So that's one benefit of standing. We can also, in the standing, we're going to be exploring another factor of the mind, which is known as intention or volition. And this is another technical term that it's referring to that pulse of intentionality that happens before every movement that we make, before every word that we speak. And often, even before thoughts that we think, when the mind is very quiet on retreat, we can sometimes catch that sort of incipient energy of the mind moving towards engaging in some kind of mental activity. And this word intention or volition, it's a little bit different than the way the word intention is often used in English, where we talk about it more as motivation or aspiration. So in English we might say something like, I had my intention on this retreat was to cultivate more kindness. Or, I didn't intend to hurt you. Those are common ways we think of this word intention. But in this context, what it's referring to is more of that basic pulse of the kind of the about to moment. So it's very subtle, often very fleeting, and very powerful. Because if we can catch it, then we have a chance, an opportunity to do something differently. So many of you are familiar with the quote by Viktor Frankl, the psychiatrist and Holocaust survivor. He says, between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. And in our response lies our growth and our freedom. So this training is about, on the most basic level, say you have an itch somewhere on your body right now that you'd like to scratch. And if you're very quiet, you might feel that sort of just beginning of the urge, the pulse, the signal that's telling the hand to move. And then at some point you scratch it. Noticing that pulse and then having the choice whether you scratch or not is a tiny moment of freedom. It's not just an automatic, or say it more ethically, a mosquito. You know, often when we feel a mosquito biting us, just this automatic slap at it. But with training, again, we can feel that pulse of intention to slap the mosquito and make a different choice, perhaps just to gently brush it away. So in this next meditation, as I said, we're going to be starting off standing. And I'm going to be ringing a bell approximately every 5 minutes. And I'm going to invite you, if you want to sit down, to wait until one of the bells ring before you sit. So you're not sitting the nanosecond you feel the urge to sit. So in that 5 minute period, you might have an opportunity to notice the pulse of the intention to sit and then allowing it to be restrained, to subside, and then another wanting to sit, allowing it to restrain, subside. Then when the bell rings, you might consciously say, okay, now it is time for me to sit. And then when you change from standing to sitting, see if you can notice the pulses of intention to shift the posture, to lower the arms, to bend the knees, to move the body, to come into contact with the sitting cushion again. So there's a whole world that we can start to explore here. And we also, with that intention, will likely see the driving effect of pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. So after we've been standing for a while, there might be start to be a predominance of sensations that register as unpleasant. And we might feel that sort of pushing of the intentionality, sit down, sit down, sit down. So there's a lot that we can explore here. It's not about pushing pain. So there's no compulsion that you, or belief that you should be standing for the whole 25 or 30 minutes. You don't get extra points if you do that. You don't get penalized if you sit down after 5 minutes. This is really intended to be your own exploration of these intention, feeling, tone, perhaps at times mental reaction, and so on. Is that clear? Any questions before we start? What? No questions? That's a first. Okay.